Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39 reads this way. It says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together as your church, as your people, and then, Lord, once again being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We do pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that you might guide our hearts and our minds to hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we never forget that. And that you might do your work in our lives, Lord, that we would honor and glorify you and truly be the light and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be. Again, bless your word, bless us, your people, Lord, and build Northwood and all your churches. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Two Happy Mothers, Two Very Happy Mothers, amen. They never expected anything like this to ever happen in their lives, and yet God is so gracious and merciful to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ever can expect or think. And so tonight we'll consider an interview between two very happy moms. Amen. Would you agree? They were happy individuals to hear the message that God had given to them and the work that he wanted to do in and through them. And so did they receive the truth that they heard? Did they receive that truth? Did they believe the Lord? Because if we don't have any trust in the Lord, we can't go any further. Amen? So tonight we'll consider very quickly four thoughts: the time, the location, what humility brings, and then also God's name magnified. So let's consider the time here. And notice this is right after the Lord was telling Zacharias and Elizabeth what he was getting ready to do for them. And now the Lord is moving on to Mary and telling her what is going to happen to her. And if you will, just back up with me to verse 35 and notice what it says here. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So these are things that are in the future, right? They're getting ready to take place. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Now I want to stop you right here just for a moment and ask you an important question. Was Elizabeth and Zacharias led of God? Yes, they were led of the Lord. And was the Lord working with Mary as well? Absolutely. Listen, when God is at work, he wants us to know what he's doing. Amen. And he wants us to know how to follow him. And so we're going to see some things, I think, that you'll find quite interesting tonight. And the Lord was working. By the way, do you think the angel wanted her? I mean, listen, no doubt he told her what happened to Elizabeth so that she can go and visit with her. And by the way, listen, he told her what he was doing. And by that information, that news, no doubt, because it had been 6 months, right? That news could have traveled back to Mary, and she may have been knew about what was going on with Elizabeth. But one thing that we know for sure, and that is that Elizabeth did not know, because it just happened, what the angel was telling Mary. Is that the truth? All right, so watch this. Watch what's going on here. And so, again, verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." He's telling this to her to build her faith as well. You would say, my goodness, well, she's already trusted the Lord. Oh, of course she has. But listen, the Lord knows that we need everyday faith. Amen? God wants to confirm, affirm, and reaffirm his promises to us. The more we look to the Word of God, the more we understand the more sure word of prophecy, amen, and what God has promised to all of his children. And so notice, he says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," notice she presents herself, "be it unto me according to thy word." Isn't that good? That ought to be all of our mottos, if you will. be it unto me, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to be submissive to your will and your way for my life. And so the angel of the Lord departed from her. So all this information was a work of the Lord to lead Mary into a deeper relationship and to search out more the things of God. Listen, God doesn't say, okay, I've got a lesson for you today, and at the end of that lesson, you don't need any more. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord is continually revealing things, and as we follow the Lord in that step, then the Lord lights up the next step. But what would have happened if Mary would have said, okay, I'm done? That wouldn't have bode well for her. But listen, Mary was excited because of what the Lord was doing in her life. And so listen, when God is involved in the life of the believer, there's excitement. Listen, we experience the joy of the Lord. We experience the grace of God. We experience that, by the way, that's the power of God. The grace of God, is it not? Listen, for by what were you saved? For by grace, my goodness, it is life-saving power. So God not only has given to us that grace, he wants us filled with that grace that we might be ministers of that grace. And so, remember what John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist, right? So Elizabeth was blessed by having the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was blessed. But who was greater between the two? Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ. But both were privileged and esteemed positions, if you will, and reason to get excited and to have joy. And here's what I want you to think about. Elizabeth being the older, Mary being privileged with the higher status, if you will, she goes to Elizabeth. She goes, listen, she pays respect to her cousin. She's an older woman, no doubt could be like her grandmother. She was well stricken in years and age and couldn't bear anymore. And so she is making this trek to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And notice what it says here in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days. What days were those? That where the angel had just given the message. So she didn't wait for months. A couple of days go by. She regroups, gets herself together, and she makes her trip and went into the hill country with haste. So she's excited about this. She's wanting to meet with her cousin into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, I want you to stop and think about something here. The Lord is an amazing God when we consider. I want you to consider this location. Remember, Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Is that true? Prophet, priest, and king. And by the way, Abraham was a priest to his house. So was Isaac. So was Jacob, if you will. And so, and by the way, you know, they're all buried in Hebron. And so now, guess where she's going? Now, I'm going to give you something just to think about. Just to contemplate. Where was it? And we won't know. We really won't know. But I think there was a reason why the Lord put it in her heart to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And I will tell you, we'll see it here in just a moment. I believe she was in Hebron, okay? And this was a place where God had given to the Levitical priest, if you will, the priesthood. They were known to, that was their possession that God had given to them. In fact, hold your place right here. Go with me over to the book of Joshua, if you will, just for a moment, Joshua chapter 21. And I want you to see something. We'll be right back here to the book of Luke chapter 1. But I want you to understand what the Lord is doing. And I think because Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king, I think he intertwines everything. We know he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's where the promise was coming. But I want you to see what the Lord is doing here. Look at Joshua chapter 21. And this is when their possessions were giving out. They were dividing the land, and they were giving the portion to the Levites, which is the Levitical priesthood. And verse 10 says, which of the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had for theirs was the first lot, and they gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is what? Hebron. Do you see that right there? Which is Hebron, in the hill country of where? of Judah. Didn't we just read that? In the hill country of Judah. So this is also known, the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about. Now this is really significant, and this is really important, because everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ was documented in the Old Testament, and any genuine individual that really wanted to know the truth, all they had to do was open up the Word of God. That's all they had to do. So this whole idea that they didn't know who Jesus was, no, they clearly rejected the Son of God. Because they knew, there was no doubt that they knew, but they were more concerned about themselves than the will of God in their lives. And so they rejected the Lord. And so go back with me to our text here in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Book of Luke, chapter 1. And notice again, see if this sounds familiar, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the what? The hill country. Didn't we just read that? In Joshua, this was what was given to them in the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. So this is the hill country. Most likely, I'm not going to be dogmatic because he didn't tell us the name of the city, but I would dare say it's probably Hebron, right? And by the way, again, this is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried. So it says she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, why didn't she salute Zacharias? Well, he wasn't talking much, was he? he wasn't doing a whole lot of talking at this particular time. And he probably didn't make himself available. Why? Because I can't have a conversation. I'm just going to get frustrated. And maybe he was praying. I don't know what he was doing. But her connection here was with Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Why is that happening? Because they are both lockstep in the will of God. Amen? They are both in unison. And listen, when God's people are where God wants them to be, great things will happen. When God's people are submissive to the will of God and that's the only way we can be led by the Lord. You think the Lord's going to lead somebody if all they can see is what they want and what they think? Can't do that, because God's thoughts are not ours, are they? Listen, how much of any of this would have made sense to anybody in the world? You know, an angel would have come up and they would have said, "Man, must have been the pizza I ate last night," right? They would never understand that. So we have to be in a place to where we are pliable in the hand of God. And no doubt Elizabeth was. We saw that here in chapter 1. They both were righteous before God in chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says. Both of them, Elizabeth and Zacharias, were righteous before the Lord. And no doubt Mary was also. And so she's filled with the Holy Ghost, and now this is the location. Now we find what humility brings, and that really brings a confirmation of faith. Not only, listen, Elizabeth already has the faith. You know why? Because she's 6 months along. She knows that. Every day she wakes up, praise you, God. Every day she wakes up, only my God can do this. Every day she wakes up. Now she's there, and now she's, listen, maybe, now this is conjecture, we don't know, maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't done his work yet. Maybe the Holy Spirit, and we'll see this here in just a moment, is going to do the work, but just hasn't done it yet, and we'll see that here by what Elizabeth says. So, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice. That's good, amen? Why did she was controlled by the Lord, and there's no shame. When we stand before the presence of God in heaven, do you think we might do a little bit of shouting? Do you think we might do a little bit of praising? You think we might have just a little bit of joy? You think we might just have a little bit of excitement? You think, listen, God's going to give us a body that will never wear out. Do you think we'll experience the difference? Absolutely. We're going to experience the difference. And so notice she says here with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Listen, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, as far as I know, they have no communication, but the Holy Spirit is guiding her and sharing this prophecy right here. "For lo," she says, "as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And maybe that's the filling of the Holy Spirit at the point of from the mother's womb. Amen? What the angel was telling her. And blessed is she, verse 45, that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. There shall be. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's getting ready to happen. I don't know. But somewhere it happened, and it appears, listen, what is Elizabeth prophesying? I want you to know that as soon as I heard your salutation, and by the way, listen, 6 months along, I think mothers have already felt the baby kick. I remember at 3 months, my wife telling me, you know, it's an amazing thing to watch the life of an unborn child inside of a mom's stomach moving. So she's felt that before after 6 months, surely, but whatever she felt this time was something different she had never felt before. Amen. And she was excited about it. And then she says, listen, she says, for there shall be, in verse 45, a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And the her is standing right there in front of her, right? Mary, right there. And so, listen, look at this double blessing. Elizabeth is being encouraged by what God is doing in her life, and Mary is excited about what he's going to do in her life. And it's so important. Why? Because in this side of eternity, on this side of eternity, there are mountaintops and there are valleys. There are ups and there are downs. There's all kinds of difficulties that we'll face. And God knows, does he not, how to lead his children along. Listen, no doubt, do you think she ever looked back on this situation? Do you think these two women ever looked back on this time? Do you remember when we got together and how the Lord was working and how God put words in your mouth? She probably said, you know, I want you to know I was so encouraged to hear you speak the word of God to me, what God was going to do. She had already believed it, but God, listen, adds fuel to the fire that he puts in our heart. Amen? He wants to keep us on fire for him. That's why, listen, there is no reason to grow cold in our relationship with the Lord because we serve a God that loves us beyond measure. And he, listen, shame on us if we can't find a reason to rejoice, amen, and the goodness of God in our lives. May we call upon him and say, oh God, listen, work in my heart. Give me a desire to call upon you. Give me a desire to pray, to see how great and holy thou art, that I might take time in my life and meditate and meet with you every day, that you might fill me with your spirit, that you might guide me and use me for your will and your honor and your glory. That, listen, that is not automatic. That requires faith to believe the Lord and to make the effort and to say, God, prayer is a beggarly, it's a beggarly happening, if you will. That's saying, God, I need you. And better yet, it's saying, God, I want you in my life. And so notice what happens here. What does Mary say here? And this is the last part. The name of God magnified, or God's name magnified. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What is it when you magnify something? You make it larger. You make it larger. You make it bigger. And by the way, listen. Who did all that? Did they just say, we're going to get together and we're going to have a pep rally? Or was God at work? Amen. See, God is not asking us to manufacture joy. He says, I am your joy. God is not asking us to manufacture peace, happiness, contentment, fulfillment in life. He says, I'm all those things, if you'll seek me. And so, listen, how wise is it? How wise is it? This is a scary thought, ready? Well, I got salvation. I got the foundation. Praise God. That's all I need. That's all you need is a foundation, right? Salvation, and that's it. Where pray tell, are the walls? Where are the windows? Where is the roof? Those are all the little commandments of God that he will build in our lives. I don't know about you, but I've never had anybody build me a house, but if I had somebody build me a house and they took the shingles off and I complained and they said, what are you complaining about? You got a great foundation. Look at your walls. Hey, I left the doors. No, wait, I want the whole house. And by the way, listen. Is not God worthy to build our whole life wholeheartedly to him? And some people say, well, I've got salvation. That's all I need. That's a scary place to be. I don't care about anything else. That I wonder what kind of foundation they have. And the only reason why I say that is because I had a friend of mine tell me, I was just a brand new Christian, and he was doing things and my goodness, I said, I don't understand that. You're a contradiction. I mean, listen, God says that we're a holy people, and the things he was saying and doing, and I was just amazed. He was taken over by the idea of becoming a millionaire before he was 30. And I said, I don't understand that. Heaven's our home. Where's the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, well, listen, I'll be all right with the shack in heaven. I want my mansion here. That made no sense to me. You know what that showed? No love for God. No love. Where's your love for the Lord? Where's the right perspective? My goodness, all this stuff. And by the way, we were in our 20s at that time. I don't know about you, but when you're at this age, you're looking at the horizon of going home. I mean, 20 years goes like that. And I don't understand how people can say, I don't want any more of the Lord. Makes you wonder what they have of the Lord. And so these ladies were excited. You know what God wants to bring in our life? Excitement. Joy. Listen, of all the people in the world, ought not Christians to be joyful?
Amen.
And rejoicing? Because our hope is not here. Our hope is in heaven with the Lord. And so, the last thought here. What does Mary say as she glorifies the Lord? And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced, listen, in God my Savior. I dare say she's got the foundation and the whole shebang, wouldn't you? And notice, for he hath, listen to this, verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate, that's humility, of his handmaid. This is Mary. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And I want you to know, you remember what they said about the Lord? The Pharisees, the religious crowd? We be not born of fornication. They accused Mary of having him out of wedlock. And she says, for all generations shall call me blessed. But you know what the generation she was talking about? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron. Amen? David, Daniel, Job, all the godly people that have gone on before. For he that is mighty, verse 49, hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy, listen to this, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. That's every generation, isn't it? That's ours too. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of what? Low degree. Of low degree. That's humility. Remember what Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. He had the right to be served and came as a servant. He was meek and lowly, and she was here of low degree. And so, notice what happens here. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things. Remember, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord said you'll be filled. And the rich he hath sent away empty. You know, so here's the idea of the rich. Listen, Abraham was rich, Job was rich, but did they pray and call upon the Lord? Did they exercise themselves in that beggarly trade of prayer and calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord, I need what I don't have, and that's you.
Amen.
See, all this wealth, that's all good and well. That's all good and well. Thank you for that, but I need you more than anything else. And so these are the ones that are exalted. And the rich he hath sent away empty, the ones that don't need the Lord. 54, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now tonight, God just wants to simply remind us where real joy comes from. And as we celebrate Christmas, mark this down. As a child of the King, God is wanting to work in our lives. Amen? And He is wanting to be our joy. He is wanting to be our peace. He is wanting to be our fulfillment and purpose of life. And all we have to do is ask Him. Amen? Lord, I want You to do this. I need You to do this, Lord, or I won't have it. I need You to do this for me in my life. Would you stand as we prepare to break off for prayer? We need the Lord, amen? And He wants to bless us if we'll just call on Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. We ask, Lord, that You bless as we break off for prayer. And Lord, may You be honored and glorified through each and every one of our lives. May You give us a hunger and a thirst to call upon You, Lord, on a daily basis and to seek You and to make a prayer time a serious matter with You on a daily basis. And Lord, that You might be honored and glorified through each and every one of our lives. And we'll give You the praise. Bless as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.